Welcome back. What a great 2017 we have had. I'm really looking forward to 2018. But before we get there, we've got the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl tomorrow in Glendale at 4 o'clock on with the Dietz and Watson Tailgate Show beginning at 2:30. Don't forget, you can hear the game on News Radio 1070 WKOK and also at WKOK.com. Don't forget that. Today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury. Plenty to celebrate. A great 2017. Really, really looking forward to 2018. And you want to celebrate and make sure that you have plenty of beverages around and snacks and everything you could possibly have a great party weekend. You've got the Cotton Bowl tonight, USC against Ohio State. Tomorrow you've got the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State and Washington at 2:30 with an airtime here on WKOK and WKOK.com. 4 o'clock the kickoff, then tomorrow night you've got the Orange Bowl with Wisconsin and Miami, NFL games the final weekend coming up on Sunday, and then Monday is New Year's Day, which means you've got the Rose Bowl between Oklahoma and Georgia, you've got the Sugar Bowl coming up between Clemson and Alabama. You also have during the day, by the way, not bad, LSU and Notre Dame and the Citrus Bowl, and you have Michigan playing in the Outback Bowl, and you got the Peach Bowl between Central Florida and Auburn. So you got a lot. It's just a cornucopia of bowls. You want to make sure you're fully stocked. That means today, okay, as you drive, in fact, you can get in the car, you can listen to the show, you can listen to Jack Ham as you drive over to Brewers Outlet. All right? Jack will be on in just a few moments as we roll on here from Scottsdale. And you can go over to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. And indeed, the pickle bar, whether it's 2017 or 2018, the pickle bar is always second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And here in Scottsdale, the Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Close out the year with a car. Start the year with a car. And when you do, you go to Sunbury Motors. All right. My broadcast partner, 18 seasons. We are completing, heading into 19 next year. My good friend, Jack Ham. Jack, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. First of all, 18 seasons has gone by very quickly, I must admit. There's been some ups and downs, and it seems like right now this football team is that arrow is pointing up.
Yeah, no question. In fact, let's start with that. Let's go back, because you and I have had to go through a process to get to this point, and it's something you and I can talk about, but we're not going to talk about publicly. Process to get here. If I were to have told you, as we sat in that hotel in New York in 2014 after the Pinstripe Bowl, that they would have back-to-back double-digit win seasons in 16 and 17, what would you have thought?
Well, you know, I've never thought that would occur, honestly, Steve. I thought that this football team would get better, but the quantum leap that we have made in the last couple of years, and you know, go back to give O'Brien credit, James Franklin takes over, and just, you know what, and he just built its foundation brick by brick. He just realized it was going to be a long process. But all of a sudden, last year's team, I think a lot of people felt was maybe a year away, all of a sudden started to mesh, guys playing well together. One example is a guy like Gesicki, the tight end, who just came into his own, and we were waiting for that from him. But not only Gesicki, but so many players. And all of a sudden, you get on a roll, you get momentum, you have gained some confidence. All of a sudden, and with that talent that Franklin has recruited, all of a sudden starts to pay off dividends, and now that's where we are right now. And it seems like we're relevant in that big top 10, close to the playoff, not quite there yet. But like I said, we're pointing in that direction.
Obviously, Penn State had a very talented quarterback when he took over in Christian Hackenberg, but it didn't fit the personnel around him. And, you know, there's nothing they could do about that. Trace McSorley and the fit with the personnel, Jack, what do you think of that, and how fortunate was Penn State that it happened when it did with him?
Well, I think, first of all, you're exactly right. We had to weather the storm. And second, with Hackenberg, just really did not fit into this offense. All of a sudden now, McSorley getting more and more, getting playing time in the bowl game. All of a sudden, you know, gaining again. That one of the guys we talked about, gaining so much confidence. But this fit in this offense right now, because you can talk about Barkley, we can talk about all the weapons we have out there. Boy, the thing that makes the whole thing work is McSorley. How many big runs did he have in big games for Penn State to get first down, big plays? You know, I can go back to, I think, the Minnesota game last year, and he ends up making a big run late in the fourth quarter. All those things, I think, it took time. You had to be patient, and I think McSorley is such an outstanding fit, along with Stevens as well. We're solid there at quarterback, and I think both those guys are kind of like a glove into this offense right now.
Which then brings us to the next part. You brought up Tommy Stevens, Jack, and the newly created on the depth chart Lion position. When you look at Tommy Stevens' versatility, what does it take, in your opinion, for a guy to master, or at least attempt to master, multiple spots on the field?
Well, I think the coaches have seen so much of Tommy Stevens that they're so comfortable and they're confident in his skill set right now. He has built himself up to a great program here in the Penn State weight room, because he's now about 228 pounds at 6'5". And for a defensive coordinator going up against a little bit of it this year, like going against a guy like Tommy Stevens in that backfield, you know, we'll probably have Sanders next year as well in that backfield. I mean, you're very concerned how to key on a guy like Stevens, because he can do so many things. He's caught touchdown passes. He'll throw, obviously, touchdown passes. He'll run with the football. We saw him do that against Iowa last year. I mean, he's been able to do so many, so versatile, and they've got an outstanding arm as well. So incorporating him into offense is going to continue to give, I think, defensive coordinators some nightmares out there. I think it was a case with Barkley all this year, and I think it'll be the case again next year with that new role for Tommy Stevens.
In fact, you and I, when we watch Tommy Stevens in practice, I know you in particular really like how he runs that read option, you know, because he really disguises it very well.
Yeah, and he's also very patient with that thing.
Yeah.
He holds that thing in there. He's got long arms. He could be able to hold it. And a split second like that in that option is critical for a defensive end hesitating for a second, not making a play. So, yeah, like I said, in college football, especially the Big Ten, you know, this conference is a very physical conference, and you normally your quarterbacks, you go through a number of them. You can solve so many teams in the Big Ten having issues at the quarterback position. We've been fortunate so far, but we're also fortunate to have two solid quarterbacks.
And also fortunate to have a couple of solid tailbacks. We've talked a lot about Saquon Barkley. We're now about to see more and more of Miles Sanders. When you've seen Miles Sanders, Jack, what has stuck out to you about him?
Well, I think the burst that he has, the ability to get from the start and then get to high speed. He's also a very good receiver out of the back. When we talk about Barkley, catching football, Sanders has that type of ability as well. He's another guy. He's about 220 now, Steven. He's a guy that can be physical, run inside tackle area. And I think, you know what, five-star kid out of Pittsburgh. I mean, he has been patient, waiting his time, learning behind Barkley. And now for the next couple of years, should be the focal point of our running game at Penn State, that he has spent his time. He has been patient, so it's now a Sanders time, especially starting next year.
Jack, back in your era, freshmen were ineligible, so there was forced patience. You knew going in you weren't going to play right away. What do you think it takes for a five-star like a Miles Sanders to have some patience today, to sit behind a Saquon Barkley and then wait your turn?
Well, I think you're right about a lot of kids are coming in. You know, you went through a freshman year and just getting acclimated to a system, and you sat out and you were able to watch, and you knew after your freshman year you'd end up playing. For a five-star kid like this, a highly touted running back coming out of Pittsburgh, and the ability he had, but you know what? When he came to Penn State and he saw Barkley, and this is probably the first time in his whole career of going back to Pee Wee football or whatever, where Sanders was on the bench watching someone else play who was undoubtedly just a better football player and one of the best football players in the country. I think what you end up doing, Steve, you end up learning from that. You end up learning from a Barkley and how to run routes, how to hold on to the football, which I think is one thing Sanders, you know, is going to be the focal point. I mean, Barkley didn't fumble the football the entire year. You watch how this guy does it, how he holds the ball, how he runs his routes out of the backfield. Even though you're on a bench, it's still that's your learning time out there as you watch him and how Barkley was able to respond to so many different things. Getting, you know, times where you get banged up in the backfield for losses, tackle for losses, you know, you stay with it and end up making plays, especially in the third and fourth quarter. So I think the mental part of being watching Barkley on the sidelines for Sanders is a huge thing. And I think going into next year right now for him, I think he learned a lot from Barkley that he'll put into play.
On the defensive side, Jason Kabinda not only led the team in tackles, he led the team in tackles against the run, and Brandon Smith was second on the team in tackles against the run. First of all, to have your linebackers do that, what kind of plus is that for a defense? And then the other part is you and I both know that they're playing their last games.
Exactly. A fantastic career for both of these guys. Both not only making the plays you talked about against the run, you give credit to the front four up front to keep those guys clean, but these are two smart football players, Kabinda and Smith, getting people all lined up properly, you know, changing the fronts at the last second right before the snap of the football in an offense. All the little things that they were able to do, which is gain experience out there for both of those guys, I think that's going to be a void that Penn State's going to have to address, obviously, next year. But I think physically, I think we'll have guys in there. But the mental part of the game, you know, getting guys in the correct position all the time, Kabinda and Smith were outstanding at that, and that's where we're going to have to make sure the next group of linebackers are able to do that.
As you and I go along, we get a feel for what the coordinators at Penn State are thinking, either, you know, because of practice and because of games. Now, Ricky Ronnie will take over on the offensive side. What does it mean, though, for Penn State, the stability that Brent Pry is going to be back for a third year as a defensive coordinator?
I think that's huge. I think that's huge. Yeah. If you know, losing Moorhead, obviously, I think a lot of people thought that was coming because of what he was able to accomplish with the Penn State offense. So he kind of almost expected that. Brent Pry on the other side, I mean, just taking over like this on the defensive side, if we lost two coordinators like that, that's a tough to overcome, even though with all the talent Penn State will have coming back. But the stability of Pry, I think what he brings to the table, again, the same blitz packages, you know, delaying things until the last second. We had to compensate a little bit. We weren't getting as much pressure on front four, so we had to dial up the different things, and we were able to bring the safety, bring Marcus Allen, bring so many different people, bring our, you know, off the edge with our outside linebackers, especially Farmer coming off the edge. So many different things you kind of dial up and not give it away like that. And I think the stability of having Pry back there, you know, obviously is a key thing. And I think we're fortunate the fact that he is going to stay and continue in that role.
Ryan Buchholz is back for this game. And when I mean he's back for the game, he, you know, starting at defensive end, available now, and they're going to play him in the four defensive end package. They have not had that package for the last six games, Jack. What do you think that meant for Penn State defensively to lose an entire package with one player out?
Well, and we end up losing him in probably the most difficult part of our schedule at the beginning of the Ohio State game. I mean, when you lose a guy, he's a physical presence. And at the end of that football game, we had a hard time getting any kind of pressure on Barrett, the quarterback, who I think was like 13 for 13 in the fourth quarter of that football game. Along with just the rotation itself, but getting that package, which I think has been very, very successful for Penn State, that, you know, you get more quickness, you get people rushing the passer, getting more pressure on the quarterback, which we needed late in that football game, we're unable to do it. Getting him back now healthy, getting the fact he's his physical defensive end, we had a mix and match a little bit with Gibbons going out there, who I thought did a credible job as well. But, you know, people don't realize how important Buchholz was to our football team, especially when he lost him so early in that Ohio State game.
You made a great statement among many during the course of the year, but one of them is if you sign with James Franklin, there's a really good chance you're going to play. They play a lot of people on defense, and even though they have a senior secondary, so many guys have played back there that are young players. In the overall development, what kind of foresight do you think this coaching staff uses in order to make sure they're never going to come up empty in spots?
Well, you know what? When I first saw this, to be very honest with you, Steve, in the booth, I'm seeing all of a sudden you got inexperienced back in a corner position. When you're playing freshman at one point, with Castro Fields and Wade both back on the outside, you know, you can have that at defensive end or tackle or linebacker, but you're back there in that secondary where one play can be a 60-yard bomb if you're mentally not correct on everything in your assignments. And for James Franklin, you know, obviously very, you know, highly regarded recruits coming in, and to play those guys early, first of all, the confidence that you need out of corner, I think, more than any other position on the defensive side, because there's going to be times where you get beat. The idea of having those young guys out there playing in the rotation in early parts of a game, in the early part of the season, you're right. I think recruits coming into Penn State realize, if I'm good enough, I'm going to be on that field.
Finally, Jack, you know, this will be the fourth straight bowl game Penn State's been in since they were allowed back into it. What do you think it would mean for the program at this point to win it and have that feeling going into the offseason?
I think it is huge. I think last year's game against Southern Cal, as great a season as it was, you end up losing a close football game in the Rose Bowl. It took away some of that luster from last year. Everybody said it was a great game, yeah, but we came up on the short end of that football game, which was a shootout. It was nothing like any kind of defensive struggle. So it was whoever had the football last, and give Southern Cal a lot of credit. I think it's very important for this football team to finish off. It's been a great year so far, and we talk about the close, you know, losses to Ohio State and Michigan State. But this could really, you know, put the stamp on this season right now, because this Washington football team is a solid football team, and Penn State's going to have to play really well to beat them.
There's no question about that, especially the Pettis kid on punt returns. This is where Blake Gilligan is going to have to probably have one of the games of his life.
Well, especially in a bowl game like this, when your special teams is so critical, that we make sure we handle Pettis, because, you know, all throughout the season, you're on special teams throughout the week, you're into a rhythm. Now you have this off period of time until you're going to play against one of the, you know, special teams for Washington is huge. So you have no question, but we're going to also, there are going to be times where we're going to have to cover and get this kid on the ground. He's about as explosive a return guy that I have seen in a long time, and I'm sure Penn State on that coverage team is going to have to do a great job and limit what he can do.
All right, looking forward to it, Jack. Always appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Take care.
My broadcast partner for the last 18 seasons as we head into our 19th season in 2018, Jack Hamm. I've always told my broadcasting class that one of the things that you should strive to do along the way is to work with people who make you better. Now, however you may think of my work, I can tell you I'm exponentially better by working with Jack Hamm, and I'm exponentially better by working with Dick Girardi. And I can say the same thing about working this show with Sean Carey, Joe Putnam on the Spikes. We had Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer on the show yesterday, and along with Kerry Stroh, they all make me better working the TV show. No question about that. So I've been so, so fortunate in my career. What a year we've had in this show. I can't thank all of you enough. We have been getting record numbers on the podcast. And again, you can check out this show or yesterday's show on the Steve Jones Show podcast. We'll be getting record numbers on the podcast. We've had some great guests this year, but it all happens because of you. Okay, I can't thank all of you enough for listening to these shows. And I can't thank our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. They have sponsored every Friday show since I started. We're heading into our seventh year of doing the show. And Sunbury Motors. I can't thank Sunbury Motors enough. Right? The Sunbury Motors Studio, while mobile today in Scottsdale, this doesn't happen without them. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget, tomorrow, Penn State football, Nittany Lions, will take on Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. Kickoff tomorrow is set for 4 o'clock. We'll be on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show beginning at 2:30. You'll hear the game right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And don't forget, you also can hear the game at WKOK.com. Thanks so much for everything. Appreciate everything all year long. Enjoy the weekend. We will talk to you in the new year. Happy New Year, everyone, from us to you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.